universal and unchanging God, we are one, unalterably one, with all the human race. Grant that we, through your unifying Spirit, may break down the walls that divide us. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have readings this morning that are well known, I think, to many of us. We leave Job behind and hear part of the story of Ruth. Today we hear how Ruth, under the guidance of Naomi, mother of her late husband, meets and eventually marries Naomi's kinsman, Boaz. Thus it is that Ruth, an outsider and a non-Jew, becomes the great-grandmother of David, the greatest king the Hebrews have ever known. Of course, she is also the great-great-grandmother of Solomon, David's son and heir. Our gospel last morning includes the well-known story of the widow's meager offering in the temple as contrasted to the extravagant and conspicuous donations of the wealthy elite. Those of us of a certain age may remember this story referred to as the widow's mite. The mite was a small coin of equally small value. In our more recent translation, her offering was valued at a penny. In ancient times, two mites were worth one quadrin, the smallest coin in Roman circulation. We often hear of payment and expense in the New Testament expressed in denarii. A denarius was the wage of one day's labor. To put that into a little perspective, if a denarius is worth a whole day's labor, that would be 12 hours of work. Two mites accounted for about 6 minutes of that time. This reading is often misunderstood as a lesson in giving till it hurts, and is equally as often used in stewardship sermons. Let me reassure you, that is not my intent. To be honest, I was more than a little taken aback when I realized that this was our reading today. Part of the lingering after effect of Hurricane Michael has been frequent intermittent computer and phone outages here at the church. As a result, we are several weeks late in getting out our pledge cards and stewardship letter. Call it coincidence, if you will, but I know that most of you just received this letter in the last few days. Believe when I tell you it was not planned. Although you will hear about it later. Interesting reading asides, however, there is much to discuss, this weekend in particular, that does not specifically relate to the lessons assigned for today, but does indeed reflect the greater scriptural message. Today, of course, is Veterans Day. Do we have any veterans with us? I salute you. I salute all who serve, and thank you all for your service. This holiday of Veterans Day started as Armistice Day. It was on this day, this very day, 100 years ago, that the armistice, ending hostilities on the Western Front in Europe, took effect. As declared at the time, the armistice took effect at the 11th hour, on the 11th day in the 11th month of 1918. Essentially ending World War I. The peace treaty itself would be negotiated the following year. World War I was searingly traumatic. Due to interlocking treaty obligations between European countries, it soon brought to conflict most of Europe and their colonial possessions, which elevated the war to global dimensions. It presented a grim and grisly contrast between the old ways of waging war and newer, deadlier technology. It was the last war in which cavalry played a role. It was the first war to see the use of tanks and poison gas. Over 70 million troops mobilized. 9 million combatants and 7 million civilians died. An entire generation was devastated. The map of Europe was almost completely restructured as centuries-old empires became casualties of the war. Called the Great War, or the War to End All Wars, due to its scope, its size, and its destruction, an even larger conflict would emerge a little more than 20 years later. World War II brought an even larger scale of involvement and destruction. It is to date by far the deadliest conflict in human history. It is estimated 50 to 80 million people died, most of them civilians in Russia and China. It saw the advent of ever newer technologies leading to the war-ending horror of nuclear weapons. It is estimated that 60 to 80,000 people died in the first few moments following the flash of detonation in Hiroshima. And those bombs are considered rather small in comparison to the weapons available today. It seems we, the world, have a great deal of difficulty learning our lessons from these conflicts. One source I found reports 207 separate armed conflicts in the world between the end of World War II in 1945 and 1996. How many more in the 20 years since? This weekend marks another somber anniversary. The night of November 9th to 10th was the 80th anniversary of Kristallnacht, the night of broken glass, when Nazis burned synagogues and vandalized Jewish homes, schools, and businesses throughout Germany. It was the beginning of a violent campaign that ultimately led to the Holocaust. Now, please don't misunderstand. I am not discussing this litany of doom, gloom, and destruction to ruin your weekend. Rather, it is put into sharper contrast what God has asked of us and what we have done instead. I have recently heard someone say that when we see the world as a mess, we need to remember that God didn't make it that way. We did. God's call and desire for us is peace and justice and love for all God's children. The earliest prophets spoke of the same. Isaiah, writing over 700 years before the birth of Jesus, tells us of the time to come when we shall stream to the house of God and follow the ways of God. Then God shall judge between the nations. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war. Those words are embedded in the wall across the street in the United Nations. Neither shall they learn war anymore. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a world where we don't feel compelled to settle disagreements at the end of a gun or the push of a button? It is the expectation, the dream toward which God has always called us. It is the promise of the covenant of Hebrew Scripture. For us, it is the fulfillment of the covenant in the incarnation of Jesus. It is part of our call to more fully manifest the kingdom of God here. In these contentious times, we are too often reminded of escalating hatred of one group toward another. The recent tragedy in the Pittsburgh synagogue brings this into painful, as do the rising racial tensions throughout the country. Flourishing nationalism and militarism build walls and fortresses instead of bridges, and create isolation and suspicion instead of cooperation and trust. Last week, we had a baptism, and we all reaffirmed the promises we made in our own baptismal covenant. It is good for us to remember what it is. I am always particularly mindful of our promise to strive for justice and peace among all people, to respect the dignity of every human being, to which we can only answer, I will.